whenever I was asked to come and speak, I was told that you're doing a series on the I Ams, and so tonight we're going to look at one of those. So if you have your Bible, if you want to turn to John chapter number 8, the book of John and chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, and we're just going to read one verse together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. So John chapter number 8, if you all would turn to it, and let's read together verse number 12. John 8 and verse 12, and it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We're going to just pause for a moment of prayer, and I would ask all of you just to pray that God would speak to your heart together. So let's pray now. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this meeting. Our Father, we thank you for all that we have been singing about, and Lord, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And Father, we thank you that not only was he the light when he came, but we thank you that he's still the light of all his children. And our Father, we pray that each of us would now just put all other distractions and thoughts and things out of our mind, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and teach us from your precious word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at this title, I Am the Light of the World, and before we come to it, I want to set a few things in background. When we speak about the Son of God, we normally speak about him using titles that we know familiar as Jesus, or Savior, or the Lord, or Christ, and that's normally the most common titles that we hear used for the Son of God. Those generally are the most used names. However, throughout the New Testament, there are over 100 different names and titles for Jesus. And the reason for that, you say to me, why is there so many different names and titles for the Lord Jesus? Well, it's because when it comes to him, he is a man unlike any other the world has ever seen. Being fully God and fully man, he had a character and a charisma quite unlike anyone else that's ever walked this earth. Therefore, it was absolutely impossible to give Jesus one name that would sum him up entirely. You see, back in Bible times, I don't know if you know what your name means or why you were given that name. Maybe you were named after someone, or maybe you were your mum and dad liked that name or whatever. But back in Bible times, titles carried a great significance. In Bible times, you weren't randomly called something. Rather, your name was given to reflect who you are and what you are. As you think for one example of Jacob, way back in the Old Testament, Jacob literally means deceiver. And so Jacob was given that name. And of course, the character of Jacob, he was a trickster. So his name summed up who he was. And so what we find is each one of the titles given to the Lord Jesus was significant. Each one was specific. Each one was sacred. And therefore, each one is important. Individually, each title given to the Lord was used to describe all the different details of who Jesus is. The title we're going to look at tonight forms part of a well-known list of titles called the I Ams, a series of 7 self-confessed titles that Jesus announced to the world. Titles that let the world know who Jesus was, titles that let the world know what he had come to do, and titles to show how he can make a difference. Now, I believe that I'm doing the third I Am this evening, but it's actually the second one that's given in order as we find them in the book of John. But the title we look at tonight, I Am the Light of the World, is a title that carries both a challenge for you and I as Christians. So let's look at this title together. I've got 3 very simple thoughts I want to leave with you tonight, and I hope there'll be some benefit to you. So number 1, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, first of all, it is a title of identification. If you're taking notes, you can note that. It's a title of identification. Look at what it says in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. There's the title of identification. You see, this title was used by the Lord Jesus to identify who he was. Now, this is going to sound a little bit repetitive for anybody here who goes to St. Phil and has been on a Sunday night. We're doing a series on a Sunday night to do with creation. And actually, two Sunday nights ago, I dealt with light. So I borrowed some of this just for this purpose tonight. But of course, light was the very first thing God created. Now, when you go to Genesis chapter 1, in fact, if you want to do that just now, here's an amazing fact for you if you want to look at it just in passing. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3, we find there it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now, here's the amazing thing is this. God didn't create the sun until verse number 14. I wonder if you ever looked at that in creation. God didn't create the sun and the moon and the lights in the sky until verse 14. And yet, in verse number 3, God said, "Let there be light." And then, better than that, when you come on down a little bit, before we come to verse 14, the Bible tells us that God created grass and it grew. Now, how? Without the sun. How did grass grow without the sun? Well, the reason is because the supreme sustainer of everything is God. He is the source of all light. So by Jesus likening himself to light, it tells us right away that it is a title of preeminence. That word simply means supremacy, superiority, the highest of all. That was he wanted the world to see him as absolutely supreme. Take the first few words of John 8 and 12. Jesus says, "I am the light." He made this claim, the context is he made this claim in the temple which was filled with lights. And in fact, during a feast called the Feast of the Tabernacles, lights shone from the temple and at night they could be seen all over Jerusalem. And yet Jesus says, "I am a light of greater glory than what is shining from this sacred building." You know, guys, as you know, anybody that studies physics at school or whatever, you know that light is something that's essential for life. We can't survive without it. Light, along with the five essential elements, are vital to creating an environment fit for life on Earth. Light is one of the central components of Albert Einstein's famous energy equation, E equals mc squared, or in longhand, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Light is the very central thing that we need to live. In fact, as I read out a couple of Sunday nights ago, here's a scientific definition of light. It goes through walls, but slows to a standstill in ultra-cold gases. It carries electronic information for radios and TVs, but destroys genetic information in cells. It bends around buildings and squeezes through pinholes, but ricochets off tiny electrons. And yet here's the amazing thing about light. Even in this super scientific era, nobody can yet define exactly what light is. You see, light is a mystery. Scientists know what light does. They know how light performs, travels, and reacts. They even know the best way for light to be used. But to this day, scientists still haven't conclusively decided and settled on what light is. The most common conclusion is that light is made up of a thing called photons, tiny particles which have a wave-like property associated with them, but its makeup is an absolute mystery. And then when you transfer what I've just said over to what the Lord Jesus said about himself, he says, "I am light." What a brilliant analogy for the Lord Jesus. You see, he is a man unlike any other man. While on earth, people would say things like, "What manner of man is this? He looked like everyone else, but didn't live like everyone else." His identity was a mystery. Sadly, however, most people missed the fact that he was the Messiah, even though Jesus spent much of his time trying to teach the people who he really was. Very few grasped it. There was much mystery around the man Jesus. He came into the dark world as light, but men didn't understand who he was. As John said in chapter 1 of his gospel about Jesus, "As the light of the world, he shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not." Some thought he was Elijah. Others thought he was a prophet, others a teacher sent from God. While few truly realized he was the Son of God, they couldn't work him out. He is fully God and fully man. Being fully God, he can declare himself to be light because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. James in his epistle explains that God is the Father of lights, and with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So on one hand, this title points to his deity, to his divinity, to the fact that Jesus Christ is God. But on the other hand, it also points to his perfection. Why? Because light is brilliant. Light is beautiful. Light is the opposite of darkness. In fact, after God created light, he divided it from the darkness. So in that respect, light points to the pureness of the Lord Jesus and his person. You know, the soul of you and I is born dark. Our souls naturally are born immoral. We can't do right, naturally. But the soul of the Lord Jesus was this thing of sinless beauty. As he walked among men, never once did he sin. You think about that, you know, you think about your day and my day that I've lived today. I can assure you, from I get up this morning, I have sinned. And here's, I'm going to tell you something better than that. Tomorrow, God willing, I'm going to preach 3 messages tomorrow. And I know that between I start in the morning until I preach my last message at night, I will have sinned throughout the day tomorrow. Why? Because we're human and we sin. But yet never once did he sin. Never once did he swear. Never once did he steal. Never once did he slander. Never once were any of his dealings shady. The Bible says the Lord Jesus, and this is something you and I need to grasp, because sometimes today people talk about Jesus, you know, that he's just a friend or that he's a companion. And yes, he's all of those things, but we must recognize that he's the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. While on earth, he was the full personification of light. He was perfect, pure, and pleasing to God. And here's the thing, sadly, today. You guys will know this from going to school. Today, the world still doesn't know who Jesus is. Though the Lord's disciples realized he was the Son of God, the world missed that fact. But it's not the world I want to focus on, because tonight we're coming to think about ourselves as Christians. You know, even though the disciples realized he was the Son of God, still day by day they learned about their master. They saw more of his light because they spent time in his company. They learned from his miracles. They learned from his messages. They learned from his mannerisms. Here's a challenge for you and I tonight, guys. I want you all to listen very carefully to this. Ask yourself a question tonight. How well do I know Jesus? On a scale of 1 to 10, if you call yourself a Christian tonight, how well do you and I know Jesus? Oh, we may not know an awful lot about him. We never can fully exhaust who he is. But how well do we know him? In the course of a week, how much time do we spend with Jesus? Unlike the world, we know that he's the Son of God, but does that mean anything to us? Since the start of the year, have we learned anything new about him? You see, the Bible tells us that we're to live in the light, and we're going to come to that in a minute, but before we can do that, before we can ever live in the light, we must learn about the light. You see, guys, here's something I think we all maybe do well to remember. In a time, we live in an era where Christianity is changing and evolving, and there's so many things seem to be so important. Here's one something I want you, a little phrase that you should remember, and I need to remember. Christ is the central subject of Christianity. Christ is the central subject of Christianity. That means it's not church. It's not worship. It's not evangelism. It's not mission trips. It's not camps. All those other things are brilliant, and all those other things we should be involved in, but none of them are central to Christianity. Christ is the central subject to Christianity. And when we keep him central, then all those other things are built around him. You see, the Lord Jesus is the central subject. The great apostle Paul, his greatest desire, and Paul was a great preacher, he was a great apostle, he was a great one who loved the gospel, he was a one who went on missionary journeys. But you know what Paul's number one desire out of everything he done? He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So guys, I say tonight to you, get to know your Savior. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's a title of identification. So this title identifies his preeminence. However, it also is a title of illumination. For look at what it says. He goes on and he says in verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, it's a title of illumination, thus setting before us a pathway to follow. The Lord Jesus calls us out of the darkness of sin to follow after him. I've already said, being born in darkness, we only know how to walk in darkness. Naturally, we want to go our own way. We want to lean on our own understanding. We want to figure life out for ourselves. I want to pause at this point and ask everybody a question tonight. I don't know anybody. Well, I know some of you, but there's many of you I don't know. And I don't know why you're here this evening. Can I ask you a very simple question? Are you a Christian? Can I ask you to answer that in your heart tonight? Are you a Christian? Have you ever realized that you're born with sin? And that if we go our own way, that we're going away from God, and that way ultimately ends in destruction. But guys, tonight, light has shined in darkness. Jesus Christ has come, and he's given us a pathway to follow, and he calls us to leave our sin and follow him. And I wonder, has there ever been a point in your life where you've ever got saved? If you are saved tonight, the Lord Jesus, as the light of the world, calls us to follow him. You know, he is the sole example we're to emulate in life. I don't know who you set up as your role model, but if you want to model yourself on someone, rather than trying to be like a celebrity, aim to be like Christ. Rather than following the latest trends, follow his truth, for he is our supreme example. The number one question, generally most Christian young people want to know is this: what's God's will for my life? I wonder, is that your question tonight? What's God's will for my life? What's God's plan for my life? I want to know God's will for my life. Well, the only way to know God's will is to walk in the light. What does that mean? Well, let's have another look at 1 John this time. John has lots to say about light, but if you want to turn over in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 1, and this is a portion of scripture that teaches us about following the path of the Lord. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, we perhaps know these verses. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. This word is not in us. What we have here, as we've already learned, is that God is light. His ways are perfect. His works are perfect. His will is perfect. His word is perfect. God's will, it's not a mystery. He wants to reveal it to us. However, you and I must seek it. To do that, we must learn the importance of walking in the light as he is in the light. Why does John say this? Well, back in John's day, there were those people claiming to be Christians who were saying that they were having fellowship with God and following him, even though their lifestyle was very different. They said that they loved God, but they weren't interested. Their life looked more dark than light. Their life was more disobedient than obedient. They were doing their own thing, yet still believed to be walking with God. And John said, that's not possible. For light and darkness can't mix. They're polar opposites. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been in a long tunnel or a dark cave. When we were children, my mum and dad used to take us on different trips and we went to some caves and different things. But when you go into a dark cave, you always walk towards the light rather than the darkness behind. You know, there's something really eerie and disorientating about walking towards the darkness. Nothing makes sense. You know, we have a little 11-month-old baby at the minute, and I'm on the duty of some nights through the week, I'm on the duty of night feeds, but my wife insists that we're not to put the light on. And so I go into Jonah's cot, and I have to stumble my way in, and I tell you, it's really hard to lift the baby out, put him in your arms, find his mouth, put a bottle in, then put him back to bed without tripping over anything. I don't like doing it in the dark, but we've managed to get there, but there's something really disorientating about the dark. Nothing makes sense. And you see, when we're in the dark, we're more likely to fall. However, when we follow the light, we see obstacles more clearly. In fact, the closer we get to the light, the more plainly we see the hazards, and we don't fall as easy or as often. And likewise, guys, here's the thing. Do you want to know God's will tonight for your life? To know God's will and to be led by God's hand, we must be walking in the light as He is in the light. That means following His ways and living by His word. Doesn't mean that we won't still sin or trip up or mess up. We all do, like in a cave. Even walking towards the light, there's perhaps rocks that catch us out unawares. However, the more we walk in and towards the light and closer to the light, the easier it is to spot the things that try to trip us up, and we try to avoid them. It means that we don't hide anything from God. It means that we confess our faults, that we set our whole attention and focus on following Him. You know, walking in the light means, you know, we come to understand, you know, if I do this, God, this won't please God, and therefore I'm going to avoid it. You have your Bible still open at John chapter 8. Look again at verse number 12, and I want you really to notice this very carefully about what the Lord says. He says, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now note that very, very carefully. Shall have. Not just see it, but actually possess it. Guys, here's the truth tonight. When we commit our Christian lives wholly unto the Lord and say, from now on, not my will but yours. From now on, not my way but yours. From now on, Lord, not my words but yours. When we come to that point, we can be sure of being led by the Lord. And you know, sometimes God may delay in showing us His specific plans for our life in terms of careers, relationships, university, school, whatever it is. But God has set a very clear pathway out in His Word for all of us to follow. A pathway of light. Remember, the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this is the standards. This book that you have in your hands tonight, this is the standard for our lives. We aren't to live the way of the world. Do what everyone else is doing. This book is our government and it's our guidebook. Guys, when we choose to go against the Lord and do our own thing, it's like turning around in the cave and going deeper into the darkness. The light begins to fade. The obstacles grow more hidden and we soon fall. And usually when we fall in the dark, we get hurt. When we get hurt, we become disorientated. And yes, it may be exciting. There might be a sense of danger. But it is a bad place to be when we lose sight of the light. Can I say tonight, guys, don't walk in darkness because you'll only get hurt. Don't walk in darkness because you're more likely to fall. And again, it's a challenge to your heart and mine. We ask ourselves the question, are we honestly following the light of the Lord? Where do we take our example from? Where do we take our guidance from. The Lord gives us this title, I am the light of the world. That's a title of identification. And then he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a title of illumination. And so if the Lord Jesus set above us as preeminent, and with the Lord Jesus setting before us a pathway, the Lord Jesus then sets out for us a purpose. For the light of the world is thirdly a title of imitation. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter number 5. Please, all of you do this, because this is the final reading from tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. And this is very, very important as we tie this all together. Title of identification, a title of illumination, and a title of imitation. For in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, let's look at number 13. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. But then note these words, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came to stand out. He came to light up this dark world and show that there is life in him. Again in John 1 and verse 4 we read of Jesus, in him was life and the life was the light of man. He came as the light of heaven to illuminate this scene of sin, to show that real life is found not in the darkness of sin, but in the light of the Savior. When Jesus came to the earth, he says, I am the light of the world. For 33 years, the Savior shone on this earth as the light of the world, as the light of man. The problem was that even though the Lord of light has come into the world, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I've already said we are born blind and naturally love our sin. People in Jesus' day and people today couldn't be prized away from the darkness to follow after the light of the world. Nevertheless, Jesus didn't give up. He didn't give up. In fact, he went so far as to go to the ultimate place of darkness, to the place of the skull called Calvary. There the Lord Jesus died in darkness, provide light for the world. A way to be delivered from the darkness of sin. And that message is the glorious light of the gospel. But going back to heaven, Jesus said, now, you're the light of the world. Do you get what Jesus said? Look carefully at it again. He didn't say, you are a light in the world. Rather, you are the light of the world. Here's the thing for you and I tonight. You see, if you're a Christian, this statement applies to you. You maybe are here tonight and you feel unimportant. You feel small. You're maybe not popular. You're maybe haven't got a lot of friends. You maybe feel that you don't fit in anywhere. You maybe feel that you're not a great Christian. You maybe feel like God hasn't got a task for you. If you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus has included you in this tremendous commission. Jesus has left you and me as his lights. Jesus has left us to shine in this dark world just as he did. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Every one of us who are Christians tonight, every Christian is a living light. That doesn't mean each of us are preachers. But we're to be like lighthouses. You know, the funny thing about a lighthouse is they make no noise. They just simply shine. Here's a great example by another preacher. He says, when Jesus walked the earth, he was the light of the world. He was like the sun. He was the source of all spiritual light. But just as the sun goes down and is followed by the rising moon, which reflects the light of the sun, so too believers are now to be moons who reflect the light of the Son of God. His light shines on us and in us, and we shine forth his light to us spiritually dark world. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said that as Christians, We should be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Again, in the Gospels, the Lord spoke about living as lights, and he says, you know, you don't light a candle and then put it under a bush. Lights are designed to shine out, not be covered up. He said, lights are to be like a city set on top of a hill that can't be hid, that's visible for all to see. And so every one of us who are Christians, we're called to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And you say to me, you know, that's all right for you. You're a pastor. You can do this. This is your job. This is what you work at. This is easy for you to let your light shine. You don't know what it's like for us. You say to me, you know, it's hard to shine in school. It's hard to shine in society. It's hard to shine when we're playing sport or whatever. Here's the thing, guys. Jesus knew it'd be hard for us. Never once did he say it would be easy. He came as the light of the world, and men hated him because they loved darkness more than light. You imagine going through every day of your life and men hating you, men wanting to kill you. What are you doing wrong? You're just simply preaching what God has put in your heart. But guys, maybe you're tempted to cover up. You're covering up your Christianity because it's too hard. We must realize and remember that when Jesus left earth, he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to energize his light in and through us, to be the power source. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about God dwelling in you, that everywhere you go, God goes personally with you, because if you're a Christian, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But if you think of yourself as a torch, the battery inside a torch is the thing that gives power to the bulb. So long as it has a battery, the torch can shine and the torch can be used, but you've got to flick the switch. Guys, inside every one of us tonight is the power source of the Holy Spirit. But all we have to do and all God asks us to do is flick the switch. And so here's the closing challenge. As Christian young people, are you a living light where the Lord Jesus has placed you as his ambassador? The devil wants us to hide the fact we're Christians, to cover up the light. Let's not give him what he wants. Let's be those bright ambassadors among our friends and families. Let's live differently. You see, there's a great blessing and privilege in being a torchbearer for the Lord Jesus, to think that God has entrusted us with the light of his gospel. And therefore, guys, tonight as I close, I encourage you all, starting tonight, to let your light so shine, for you and I are the light of the world. So hopefully that has helped you as we have thought about this subject tonight. And Jesus spake unto them saying, I am the light of the world. There's a title of identification. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's a title of illumination. But you know, finally, it's a title of imitation. For Jesus said not, I am the light of the world. But he says, now that I'm in heaven, you are the light of the world, and may all of us go forth and shine as lights in this dark world.